bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. I want to greet each one of you this morning. It's a blessing to be here. I want this message this morning to be an encouragement, an inspiration to each one here. The message this morning is, I was actually studying for somebody else, something else yesterday, and it didn't want to come together. Excuse me for that. So I'm battling with some thoughts that I'm not sure are totally together, but I'm trusting in God. I trust He will have something for us this morning that we can go with and be an inspiration to whoever is listening here this morning. I want to welcome you all here. We are glad for everyone that is here, as well as Alan, Rose, and Rolanda that are listening in. And we're glad to have you with us in this way as well. This morning, I want to speak on trusting God. Title of the message, Trusting God No Matter What. We all know we live in very uncertain times right now. Everywhere you go, it seems you hear about the economy is in an upheaval. Just this past week, I heard someone say that the stocks hit another low on Thursday. What is our response to this as Christians in these times? Well, we have access to something that this world knows nothing about. We have God that we can go to. Let's turn our Bibles to Psalms 27. Psalms chapter 27. I'll be reading the entire chapter. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help, leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Here, David is expressing his faith in a God that carries us through whatever we face. There in the first verse, the Lord is my light and my salvation. The God of light, he's the God that we're serving this morning. He is always there for us, illuminating the path for us, showing us the way, giving us divine direction, ordering our steps. No matter how small the light is, I think once it is present in a dark world, or in a dark place, it makes a difference. And I think each of us as Christians, as we go out into the world, we can be a light that God wants us to be. We can make a difference in another person's life. But we're a reflection of our true source, which is God, which is our true light. God will show us the way when we are in doubt. We might face times when we're not sure which way to take. We face major decisions. Turn to God. He will show us the way. The Lord is also our salvation. We can have the assurance of going to heaven someday. We can have the assurance of being safe, even in this wicked world. We can have a future that is assured, that is blessed, that is bright and glorious. So what do we have to fear this morning as we go through this life? I think as children, many of us will probably think back at times when we were, we had a bad dream, a bad nightmare, and we awoke very suddenly. It seems so real to us. You know, many adults are going through life today with a fear of whatever, because fear has captured their souls. And our heavenly loving Father this morning wants to deliver us from that fear. There's nearly 100 passages in the Bible exhorting us to fear not. Our passage this morning is encouraging us to put our faith in God that we might overcome our fears. We just want to look at a few of them this morning. In Genesis 26, verse 24, "And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. Fear not, for I am with thee." In Isaiah 43, verse 1 and 2, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine." We can have that same assurance today. He has redeemed us. And then in verse 2, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." In Isaiah 41:10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." These are just a few of the many that are in the Bible that we have as promises to us that we need not fear. We don't need to be afraid. Regardless what's happening in the world today, we can have an assurance. We can have that. We can stand upon that rock. There are many people that don't have this, majority of them. "The Lord is the strength of my life. He is our stronghold." Meaning that we are anchored in the rock of ages. The powerful Father, Almighty God, the one that gives us life and power. If we have Christ, if we have God, we are plugged into the greatest power in the entire world. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one that says it and does it. He has not failed before, and he never will. That's the God we're serving this morning. He supplies the strength that we need to go through life and facing whatever comes our way. Because we're connected and draw our strength from God, any principalities, any foes or enemies that wants to oppress us, we will not be able to draw us away if we stay connected with God. As David here in verse 3, it says, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Here he had a host that was around him. It wasn't just one person. It was a host of people. It implies that he had a lot of enemies. And I think he was going through a literal time here in his life that there were those that were wanting to get, to take his life. We have an enemy today as well that wants to draw us away from God. The enemy and his forces. It didn't. It says here that they encamped against me. They didn't just surround him. They actually settled there around him. They have set their camps. And I think today the devil knows where he can get us at our weakest point and get us to fall. But even amidst that, David says here that my heart shall not fear. So when we find a host that is camping around us, let's not be afraid. Our light and salvation is there to give us courage. We shall not be afraid of anyone or anything that has surrounded us, waiting to attack us, because we have a Father that is more than able to deliver us. Our confidence, I think, comes from the fact that we serve God that is almighty in every sense of the word. He is omnipotent. He is everywhere. He is the great I am. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. It is a very familiar passage. I want to read a portion of that. I think this passage here is a well-known to the children as well as to us adults, of David and Goliath. I just want to convey to you what David was going through here in Psalms 25. But here's an instance where David put his trust in God. He didn't trust in anything that man had to offer. I think I'll break in here in verse 32. 1 Samuel 17, verse 32. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with the Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. For thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, Moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion, and out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog, that thou camest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day into the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and spear, but for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, and took thence a stone, and slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. I think I'll cease reading there. But here we can see that David put his trust in God, and he told the Goliath there that in verse 45, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. And we can see the great victory that God gave the children of Israel that day. The battle is the Lord's. Whatever we're facing today, the battle is the Lord's, and he will help us through that battle, through that fight. In verse 4, back in Psalm 25, One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Here David is asking for one thing, and that is to dwell in the house of the Lord. What would be one thing that we would desire if we would have that one thing to choose? What would we choose? Would we choose money, wealth, possessions, honor, power? Here David chose to dwell in the house of the Lord. And I trust that's each one of our desire this morning as Christians, that we desire to dwell in the house of the Lord. In Matthew 16:26, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I think we need to actively pursue the indwelling in the house of God. Our bodies are to be a place where God can stay. And we can be dwelling there constantly. And may our prayer be that God prepares us to be a sanctuary for Him, pure and holy. No matter what our age is, I think we should have a desire and walk towards that end. To behold the beauty of the Lord is an awesome thing. We can read in, I think it's in Exodus, where Moses had an encounter with God. And when he came out to the children of Israel again, Moses' face was bright. And he had to cover his face with a veil afterwards because the children of Israel could not look at him directly because of the brightness of his countenance. We maybe cannot see the Lord physically with our physical eyes as such, but I think there's many, many ways we can behold that beauty if we look around us. We can see His beauty in the flowers, in many of His creations. There in the same verse, the psalmist also desires to inquire in the temple of God. And inquiring is indicating to ask questions or to seek knowledge about something. The psalmist is saying here that he wants to know more about God. Is that our desire this morning? Are we asking questions to find out the nature of God? Are we studying in His Word and giving ourselves to Him? In verse 5, for in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Here, again, we have a form of protection that God is putting us in. A pavilion, which is a protection for us. As we face the storms of life, whatever that might be, God is there to help us through. Rather than leaving us to face the storms of life alone and unprotected, He says here he will hide us in His pavilion. We can be divinely protected. It's the greatest protection anyone can have here on earth. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 91:1. A secret place is a place known to very few people, and He will take us there and to that hiding place where the enemy cannot harm us. It is a place where God Himself is dwelling. We have access to that place through the avenue of prayer. In the Old Testament, there was only where the high priest could go in the Holy of Holies. We now can have access to that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I'm so grateful for that this morning. In verse 6, "And now shall my name be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord." That's what our response should be when God brings us through a valley, is a praise of thanksgiving. I'm afraid too often for myself in going through a, you know, time of whatever we're facing, we come through that valley and we forget to thank God that brought us through there. Here David had experienced a victory from his enemies. And he offers sacrifices of joy to him. I think we need to, as his children, we need to show our appreciation and gratitude to our God at all times. Many times he gives us victory, but instead of offering him sacrifices of joy, we are too busy moving on to the next thing on the list without thanking God. And then when we have another thing facing us, then we go to him again, and we want him to help us again. And God is gracious, and he's merciful, and he will help us. But I just want to encourage us to thank God for the times that we went through, and we ask him to help us, and we see a divine hand leading us through that. I just spoke with a lady yesterday from Ohio that was telling me that she wanted me to tell me something that happened to her which would have been Thursday evening. She had a miracle happen to her. She was wanting to take a check into the bank, $400 some. She could not find the check. She looked most of the day for it. She had given up. She decided to pray about it, and she did. Thursday evening, she went into the bedroom. There on the floor was that check laying next to her bed. She said, "I'm not sure how it got there, but that's how God works. Maybe not every time, but he does work that way." And she was very grateful to him for that thing that happened to her. In verse 7, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy upon me and answer me." Oftentimes when we are faced with certain situations, we quickly run to God and we expect an immediate answer oftentimes, or solution to the problem. However, when we don't get something right away, then we start questioning God. He doesn't answer, or we are all alone in this. But let's not forget what his word says, that he will never leave us nor forsake us. In Jeremiah 33, verse 3, he says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and marvelous things." If we are sincere in our prayer, there is not a word that is uttered in prayer that does not get to God. God hears our cries. He will have mercy and answer us. It may not always be in the way that we expect it to be, but he does answer our prayers. And then in verse 8, "When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Our God wants us, our Father wants us to seek His face concerning our wants and needs, our plans, our arrangements, even down to the very small detail He is interested in. Yet, I find myself too often making these plans and not seeking His face. And then when things go wrong, then we run to Him and asking Him to get us out of these troubles. Whereas if we had asked Him for help in the first place, it's pretty a possibility we wouldn't have gotten into this situation. Lord, please make Your way plain before my face. We might think it's an issue where it's too small for God. He's not interested in what I'm deciding or what I'm facing. But I'm here to tell You He is. He is interested in Your small details. Even children. I've heard some very simple prayers from children that their prayers were answered. And the faith of a little child bringing his and her small wants to Him. I'm sorry, needs to Him. In verse 10, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. The love between a child and his parent is so great, and it even extends beyond their lives. Even after they're not here anymore, we still cherish and treasure what they have taught us. I think it's possible, and we see that all around us, where children, where parents forsake their children. They don't want them. But no matter what the circumstance is, if our earthly parents reject or forsake us, our Heavenly Father is there to take us up. Just as He has promised not to leave us nor forsake us, He will always be there to pick us up when we are broken and abandoned by those who claim to love us. We are not alone. Verse 11, teach me Thy path, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. I'm sorry, teach me Thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Here the psalmist asks God Himself to teach him His ways. I think it's a very wise thing that we seek His ways. Because God knows our beginning to the end. And we do well to seek Him. And to ask Him to lead us in a path that is plain and that we can see. I think the way to God, the plain path, leads to the Lamb of God. I think as we're on this plain path, we are free from the torments of the world and from the evil wiles of the enemies. If we have God right by our side, we don't have to be sucked into the thing what a lot of people are going through in the world today, the up and downs in the economy and whatever else is shaky out there today. In verse 14, we have a wonderful promise for us. It says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait. I say on the Lord. I think we need to keep close to God. We need to wait on the Lord by faith and prayer and a humble resignation to His will. And whatever we do, whatever we're facing, whatever decision that we have before us, let's keep God in our focus. If we get God out of our focus and focus on what's around us, then we will start to sink, just as Peter did when he got his eyes off Jesus. He started sinking. I think as we're facing dangers and difficulties, I think we as Christians, we have something that we can hang on to that can keep our spirits up. Be of good courage. We need to let our hearts be fixed, trusting in God and our minds stayed upon Him so that none of these things will move us. God is never late. He is always on time. Sometimes when we wait, we tend to think that, where is God through this waiting period? We should never be in a hurry to do things that He has not approved or given us the go-ahead to do. And therefore, we should learn to wait on Him and trust Him all the time. And I just want to encourage each one of us here this morning that be of good courage. Wait on the Lord, and we will receive strength for our hearts. Jesus Christ Himself said, "I have overcome the world." And who else do we want to be leading us than Jesus Christ Himself, the one that has overcome everything, everything that we will ever face here on this earth? The other evening, when the Hostetter family was here, there's a song that I appreciate it very much. I'll be reading the first verse and the chorus. "Caught between a rock and a very hard place, coming in last in the big rat race. There's little doubt, I'm all washed out. Brother, I'm in a jam. Quickly I look to the left and right, not another living soul in sight. My back to the wall, nobody to call but the great I Am." Well, Jesus is hope when there is no hope. He is waiting right there at the end of my rope. I'll call His name, He's just the same, whether night or day. I know that He's never going to let me down. I can feel angels all around. Jesus is hope when there is no hope. He can make a way. Let's stand for prayer. Our loving Father in heaven, we pause before You this morning. We are so thankful for what You have done for us. Thank You for providing for us and for giving us something to live for. We thank You that we can commit everything unto You. I just pray for everyone that is here this morning. May You just bless each one as they seek to serve You, whatever they are facing this morning, Father. And may You just bless Your word this morning. We just want to thank You for who You are and that You do lead, guide, and direct us. And we just pray that You will continue to do that. Thank You for all that You've done for us. We just want to commit ourselves unto You. I ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen.